I'm reading a portion of the sheets that you were given last week and maybe had some today. I'm not sure. Exodus 5, 1 to 12. It's probably on the second page, I'm thinking, for you all. Exodus 5, verses 1 to 12. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, "This is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh responded, "Who is Yahweh that I should obey him by letting Israel go? I do not know anything about Yahweh, and besides, I will not let Israel go." Then they answered, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go on a 3-day trip into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God, or else he may strike us with plague or sword." The king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you causing the people to neglect their work? Get to your work." Pharaoh also said, "Look, the people of the land are so numerous, and you would stop them from working." That day, Pharaoh commanded the overseers of the people, as well as their foremen, "Don't continue to supply the people with straw for making bricks as before. They must go and gather straw for themselves, but require the same quota of bricks from them as they were making before. Do not reduce it. For they are slackers. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Impose heavier work on the men. Then they will be occupied with it and not pay attention to deceptive words." So the overseers and the foremen of the people went out and said to them, "This is what Pharaoh says, 'I am not giving you straw. Go get straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but there will be no reduction at all in your workload.' So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw." And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Now, before we begin, does anybody need, we have extra ones. We passed these out last week. And by the way, I messed that up last week. They were complete. I inserted an extra page in there that I shouldn't have. So if you don't have last week's thing, Barry can hand you one, and you can follow along. It would be helpful for you. As I said, this is a great study. The title of our messages in this series is The Repentance Journey. And the Holy Spirit brought the Exodus narrative to me out of the blue, really, to talk about this journey that every single man-jack one of us has to go through. And I don't think that repentance is one and done. I think that repentance is a lifestyle. And remember that the Bible, quick review, the Bible is a story in search of an ending. And the ending that the Bible is in search of is on the very front of your sheets there. It's Revelation chapter 21, where God tells where this story is straining to reach, what we're trying to accomplish here. This whole story and this whole book is about this. It's getting to this end. And your story, every one of you have a story, and your story, your life story, is also in search of an ending. And the beautiful thing that God has on offer for us is we can be certain of the ending, that we can join in and glom onto this ending of Revelation 21. We can be among those people. And succinctly, what God is trying to do in the end of the story is that we will be his people and he will be our God. And all that that entails. And the sign and the symptom that you are his person and that he is your God, note well, this is important, is Romans 8:9. You have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you belong to him. If you have the Spirit, you will be counted among those people in Revelation where we are his people and he is our God. And the question then that presses on us, how do we get the Spirit? How do we do that so that we're in that group? And the answer comes back with one voice from all of the authors of Scripture, repentance. John the Baptizer says, repent and you'll be baptized with the Spirit. Peter the Apostle says, repent and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. Jesus our Lord says, repent and you'll be born of the Spirit. So they all use different language to really say the same thing. So what we're going to do in this narrative, the Exodus story, is we're going to watch, I want you to watch and tell when that occurs. When the Spirit shows up, that signifies and carves these people out as people of God. And secondarily, what did the people have to volitionally do in order for that to happen? And you and I have to volitionally do something in order for the Spirit to come to us and to join us and to lead us and to be our testifier, to talk to us, to lead us and get us through life. So watch in this narrative when that occurs and what they had to do to get it. And remember our cast of characters. This is important for you to understand this Exodus narrative. A cast of characters. We have the hero, Moses, and Moses represents Christ. We have the villain, which is Pharaoh, or Satan. Then we have Egypt, which represents the dominant culture. In our case, like I said last week, it is unhappily America. It is the United States of America. And then we have Israel. Israel is a very interesting character because it represents several things, really. Israel represents Israel. Israel also represents humanity en masse. Israel also represents you and I individually. And Israel also represents and is carried by Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in order for you to grasp the wonder of this Exodus narrative and how appropriate it is for us today, there's a verse that you need to hang on to, a little known verse, and that is Exodus 4:22-23. If you have that verse ever and always before you, you'll understand how this narrative of the Exodus story, watch this Exodus of the narrative story went forward through centuries and is acted out later on in and through the life of Jesus. This Exodus narrative is how God chose to deal with the problem of sin. So what does Exodus 4:22-23 say? Then you will say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. Israel is my firstborn son. Who assumes that role? Who does God plug into that role? In the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, Jesus of Nazareth. Holding that verse before you, you'll understand this narrative. So, we're going to pick our way through this slowly. I'm not going to rush through this because there's just too many good truths. But I am amazed at what we're going to talk about today, Exodus 5:1-12, how absolutely contemporary and appropriate it is for our situation today. So here we have the people that are in slavery. The people are in bondage to Egypt. Israel is under the taskmasters of the Egyptians. And God hears their cries. And God said he's going to do some things. He's going to come down, and he's going to rescue them from the tyranny and being ensconced in the culture of Egypt. And then he appoints Moses. Moses is to come and lead this exodus of these people from the culture of Egypt into from slavery to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's Exodus 3:16-18. You know, that's always how God acts, by the way. God always takes from and takes us to. He takes us from something and brings us to something. And here in this passage, God says, I'm going to take you from the misery of Egypt. From the misery of Egypt, and I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I said last week, these people knew they were in bondage. They were in slavery. They knew it. But I also said last week that the enemy learned something. The enemy learned that he has to use a different tactic. And the different tactic that the enemy uses today for us is to get people in bondage and slavery and have them not even know it. You see, that's brilliant, isn't it? This is not a recommendation for this movie, so don't spin off on this. But that's the story of the movie The Matrix. The Matrix is about people who are enslaved and in bondage to the culture, and they don't even know it. You see, that's what the enemy's doing to us today in the United States of America. Another movie, again, no recommendation here, where the Usual Suspects. And in that, there's a great line. One of the characters says, the greatest trick that the enemy ever pulled against humanity was to convince them that he didn't exist. So you see, that's what's happening, I believe, to the church today, to individuals today, in America today. So we pick up the story here where God hears their cry. God appoints Moses. Moses is to then lead these people out of the bondage and slavery. And we start with Exodus 5:1-12. Now understand, Moses and Pharaoh have not met yet in this part of the narrative. Pharaoh has not been confronted. But here at Exodus 5:1-12, the dance begins. The dance begins between God and between Satan. Between God's representative Moses and between Satan's representative Pharaoh. Exodus 5:1. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. Now, I took something away from that. We simply give a proclamation. God's people listen. It's not what you're saying. It's not what I'm saying. It is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, is saying. And our job and Moses' job here is just to convey, just to proclaim, this is what the Bible says. See, we're like Paul. And Paul talks about this in Romans. And Teresa brought that out this morning in her excellent study, that we give proclamations. Paul says he's eager, he's obligated, and he's not ashamed to just make the proclamation. If you ever stumble or wonder how to witness or what to say, or that you feel like you have to come up with some kind of catchy phrase to hook people, listen, that is not what we're to do. We are simply to proclaim, this is what God says, and you need to deal with it. And that's what Moses does here. He comes and he says this to Pharaoh. Here's what he says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me. I want you to understand that when we are released from the bondage, and some of you are in bondage, some of you are in slavery, some of you are kowtowing to the dominant culture, and you don't even know it. At the end of this today, you'll know it, and you'll know the signs and the symptoms of it. We are released from the dominant culture for a reason, to do something for God. God wanted these people released from bondage, not for their own sake, but so that they could do something for God. Look what Pharaoh says, verse 2. And here's where I'm treading a tightrope, probably over an abyss of burning sulfur when I go into this today. But, you know, I think that pastors across this nation have got to start speaking out. And I think churches across this country have got to realize what has happened to them over the last couple of years. But Pharaoh responded, "Who's Yahweh that I should obey him by letting Israel go? I don't know anything about Yahweh. And besides, even if I did, I will not let Israel go." You know, I have to give Pharaoh some credit here. He's absolutely right. He had no knowledge of Yahweh. He knew nothing about the God of Israel. So we give him a little bit, we give Pharaoh a little bit of credit here. How about our Pharaoh today? Careful, Tim. How about our Pharaoh? You see the arrogance of Pharaoh here? "I don't know Yahweh, and even if I did, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to let Israel go." We have a Pharaoh today who claims to know Yahweh. And yet, in spite of him claiming that he knows Yahweh, he has absolutely no fear of Yahweh. And I would say to our Pharaoh today, if you knew Yahweh, you would fear him. We have a Pharaoh today. You know what the Hyde Amendment is? We have a Pharaoh today who claims he knows Yahweh. The Hyde Amendment was put in place in the 1970s, and it prohibited any taxpayer money being used for abortions. Our Pharaoh, who says he knows Yahweh, has rescinded that. It is in Congress right now that your tax dollars and my tax dollars, against our will, against our deepest held moral convictions, are going to be used for abortions. You see how contemporary this is? Just watch. Then they answered, "Pharaoh, you're not getting this. The God of the Hebrews has met with us." Pharaoh, do you understand? The God of the Hebrews, he appeared to us. He met with us, Pharaoh. "Please let us go on a 3-day trip into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God, or else." Wow. Circle "or else," because I'm telling you, the "or else" is coming. "Or else he may strike us with plague or sword." You see, God's people, we need to fulfill our mandate. The church in America needs to fulfill its mandate. We're to come out of the culture so that we may serve him. We're not to stay comfortably ensconced in the culture so that we stay under the radar. Well, Tim, you're certainly not going to be under the radar after today. Yeah, I know that. In other words, they're saying to Pharaoh, and you know what we need to say to our Pharaoh? We answer to a much higher power, Pharaoh. Verse 4. The king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you causing the people to neglect their work?" What a complete deflection by Pharaoh. What a straw man. You see, Pharaoh's not dealing with the fact, and you'll find this. Have you found that when you share God's words with somebody? That they'll deflect and they'll throw in a straw man? Like, Pharaoh doesn't really want to deal with the fact that Moses and Aaron are now representatives of the Most High. or that Moses and Aaron have met with the Most High and that the Most High has a message for you, Pharaoh. No, Pharaoh deflects completely and he brings up a straw man. He says, why are you causing the people to neglect their work? Get to your work. You know what the culture needs? You know what America needs out of you? You know what the government needs out of you? They need you to kowtow. They need you to think they have the answer. Pharaoh needs them to think, I have the solution, I have the answer, you're not leaving. If you think it's easy to leave the culture, try it. If you think Satan is not opposed to you leaving this culture, try it. The culture will fight hammer and tong to keep you enslaved, and first then to keep you even from knowing that you're enslaved. Pharaoh, get to your work. Pharaoh also said, look, the people of the land are so numerous, and you would stop them from working? Pharaoh, and to our Pharaoh, we're talking about cataclysmic consequences coming. Remember the or else? And you're talking about bricks? Is that just not so typical and so what is happening today? We're talking about the God of creation looking at a nation, looking at a church, looking at individuals in those churches and saying to them, I've given you a mandate to come out of that culture and to serve me, and you are talking about bricks. That day, watch what Pharaoh does and see if this resonates. That day, Pharaoh commanded the overseers of the people, as well as their foremen, government officials, governors, representatives, senators. You know, and remember now, Pharaoh's all concerned about productivity. Remember that? He gets on Moses and Aaron because you're interfering with the productivity and the creation of these bricks. And you know, Pharaoh's, Ramesses here, Pharaohs were all about edifices that gave homage to themselves. And they built and they used these bricks to make their towers and their obelisk and their statues of themselves. So Pharaoh is obviously, note well and follow this reasoning, Pharaoh is, the reason he doesn't let him go is because it's about productivity. Really? Don't continue to supply the people with straw for making bricks as before. Well, Pharaoh, obviously the productivity is going to drop here. They must go and gather straw for themselves. Many of God's people today fear Pharaoh more than they fear God. They must go and gather straw for themselves, but require the same quota of bricks. He knows that's impossible. From them as they were making before, do not reduce it. For they're slackers. You know what you are, you church people? You're unpatriotic. You're haters. That's why you're not kowtowing to Pharaoh. You are a bunch of slackers. It couldn't possibly be that you have a moral compass that says, I fear God more than Pharaoh. That isn't it. See, Pharaoh completely disregards that even as a possibility. Don't let the government hang that mantle on you. Don't you let anybody give you that title. We serve a higher power than the governor and the government and the Pharaoh that we presently have. They're slackers. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Verse 9. Impose heavier work on the men. Well, Pharaoh's smart. Satan's brilliant. Why? Look, this is exactly what has happened in the last 2 years. Then they will be occupied with it and not pay attention to deceptive words. Let's unpack that. You're not going to listen to us? We'll take your straw. We're going to take your straw. We're going to take the very thing that makes you successful in this culture, church, Christians, and we're going to take it. See how you like that. How petulant. How petulant is our Pharaoh? We'll take your straw. Try that on. Oh, you don't like that? Oh, we're going to give you regulations. We're going to give you a list of requirements that you have to follow in order to meet and worship. Because that'll distract us. See, that's what Pharaoh's doing here. I'm going to give them so many regulations and so much work that the worship of God will be secondary, tertiary, will be way down the list of the reason that they're getting together. Is this not contemporary? Okay. Take your straw. We're going to do more than that. We're going to give you regulations. Only so many people. And don't you dare look at each other in the eye. And don't you dare get close to anybody. Worship of God becomes marginalized. That's exactly what has happened. It's just so clear to me. It's so clear what Satan is doing today. I mean, this story is being played out even now while we're here speaking, because they're amping up again. We'll shutter your churches. Oh, never mind every other place is allowed to meet. Your churches are going to be shuttered. You see, we're an easy target. And we're going to be so occupied with the regulations that, yeah, we got to follow this list of requirements. So we're going to put our efforts and our concentration into following these requirements. What about worship of God? Yeah, well, we'll work that in. But we've got to kowtow to these requirements, or they'll take our straw. Brilliant move by Pharaoh. Brilliant move by Satan. Brilliant move by our Pharaoh today. Do you know how many people have not come back to church because of this? Fully 50% of church people are no longer coming back to church. Oh, we'll stay home. It's streaming. And I can get my stay in my jammies, and I can get my coffee, and I can sit here in the recliner, and I have church. No, you don't. Church was never about you. Church is about one another and meeting together as a family and a fellowship. Don't you see what's happening? They're attacking the very fabric of what makes God's people a cohesive family unit. Not coming back. Not coming back. I've talked to people all the time in my office and my practice. I used to go to church, but you know, this COVID thing, we stopped going, we got out of the habit of it, so we're just staying home. We're staying home. And it's really nice. Well, we see it online. We see it streaming. You know, we did that ridiculous streaming thing one Sunday. It was horrible. I mean, it was just awful. I have to see people. See, the congregation draws the message out. And I tried to do that thing in my study, and it was like a disaster. I got out of there, and I said to Teresa, I'm never doing this again, because it was just really bad. So, you see, this is exactly how the culture controls you and keeps you numb. Regulations. Pharaoh was supposedly all about keeping the bricks coming. And he does an end run, he thinks, around the God of Israel to keep the people occupied with other things and forget this ridiculous going into the wilderness, sacrificing and festival thing. I'll get that out of your minds. I'll beat that out of you. We'll take your straw. You may never see me again after today's message. I don't know. I might be shanghaied. You need to depend on the government, in other words, is what Pharaoh is telling these people. You think you can cross me? You think you church people are going to keep meeting? You better think again. Verse 10. So the overseers and foremen of the people went out and said to them, "This is what Pharaoh says. I'm not giving you straw." What does Pharaoh say to us today? Oh, we're going to pull your status. You're not going to follow these regulations? We're coming. We're going to pull some things from you, these benefits that you church people shouldn't really have anyway. We're going to pull those away. Now watch the bottom line here. And we'll end with this. Go get straw yourselves, verse 11. Wherever you can find it. But there will be no reduction at all in your workload. Verse 12. And here is exactly what has happened to the church. Circle. So the people scattered. Oh, Pharaoh's bright. He's brilliant. I've got to get these people from gathering together. You know, yes, they're working, but they're together. And you know, when people are together, they talk and they kind of support one another and they work through problems together. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make them scatter. They aren't going to meet. They're not going to be together. They're going to be so busy scattered looking for straw that they are going to forget one another. So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. And isn't this exactly what has happened to God's people today? Do you see this? Do you see how contemporary this story is? How Satan keeps pulling out the same playbook? That he did this to God's people millennia ago, and he kept them from being together by giving them unrealistic regulations that make no sense. That's what Pharaoh did then, and that's what Pharaoh's doing now. Scatter. Scatter the people. Stop them from meeting together. Well, this is risky. Yeah, it's risky. I wish more pastors in this country would read this narrative and understand what is going on in our country today, what is going on in our churches today, and what ultimately trickles down and goes on in the individual lives today, keeping us distracted, keeping us separated, keeping us distrustful of one another, keeping us from supporting one another, keeping us from getting together and reading God's word together. So the people scattered. Strike one for Pharaoh. Good job, Pharaoh. Well done. Very brilliant. However, the or else is coming. The other shoe is about to drop. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless these words with your spirit and presence. Amen.